Well, we serve a great God. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I want to thank Levi's leading us tonight. Levi Wine, of course, Heather Freeman singing, Deidre on the keyboards, Evan playing the bass, and Dallas playing the drums. Let's give them all a great big hand. Thank them for leading us in worship tonight. It's good to see everybody. How many of you have never met before tonight? How many of you, in other words, you've never seen me before in your life? Well, good. Praise the Lord. Fresh meat, as they say. No, we have the great honors. My wife Amanda, right here in the front row, the apple of my eye, the diamond of my life, and we've been married now 28 years, and we're blessed. I'm blessed. I don't know how blessed she is, but I'm blessed. I can tell you that. But we're so happy to be here, and we're honored to be part of Rhema Bible Church, Kenneth Hagin Ministries. I have the distinct honor of being the dean of Rhema Bible Training College. We are beginning here in September our 43rd year of training men and women who have gone all over the world to preach the message of faith and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal, is to train end-time workers for this end-time harvest, but it's not just pulpit ministry. In fact, the majority of our students are not in pulpit ministry, and our graduates, they are, what are they doing? Well, they're business people, but they're Christians who love God and are serving God in their local church. And so if you're ever interested in seeing what Rhema's about, the school, get some information. I know they have some here, but also I know October, I want to say it's the 13th, 14th, 14th, 15th, and 16th, I think, is our college weekend for the fall. You can come over for that and attend some classes on Friday, get some information. And we do have fall enrollment in September and spring enrollment in January. So there's my commercial. Other than that, ladies, don't miss Kindle the Flame. Like Brother Hagin used to say all the time, Kenneth Hagin Sr., that if you miss this meeting, you'll miss half your life. Well, there's enough meetings, I guess you'd miss a whole life if you missed them all. But it's a great meeting. It starts Thursday night, right? Thursday night runs on Friday and then Saturday. And a wonderful time, some great speakers, some great workshops, and just an all-around good time in the Lord. So see Heather for more information about that. And that'll be awesome. Well, if you got your Bible tonight, and you got a device or something you can look up, if you don't, we're going to put scriptures up on the screen. But if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to three openings. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And then we'll talk about those tonight in the time that we have. All right. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Now, I'm going to read from the King James Bible, but I may un-King James it a little bit, if you know what I mean. I've always, from the time I got saved over 36 years ago, I had a King James Bible. The people that were God used to teach me the Word of God were teaching out of King James Bibles, and I got used to that. But I found out this in ministry, and especially working with youth, I had 4 years of youth ministry experience. They don't speak King James English in youth group, much to my, I don't know what it was, but I definitely learned that. So if you hear me kind of change some of the words, it's not I'm trying to change the meaning, I'm just trying to change the word that we don't use anymore and make it a more modern word, okay? So Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Let's start there. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now I want you to notice, first of all, the word salvation. We're going to talk just a little bit about that word tonight, salvation, and the word saved. But it is the power of God. The gospel, the message of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. Now, we'll come back here and say something, but let's read Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. This section of scripture here is one of my favorite in the Bible, here in Ephesians. It's so much here, a before and after picture of who we were and now who we are now. And we are that because of the love of God. Hallelujah. And the mercy and the grace of God. Here in second chapter, verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved." Now notice the word saved there, okay? The word salvation and the word saved mean exactly the same thing in the New Testament. So we'll look at that in a moment. "You are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." So notice here, just to make a statement here, our salvation, or us being saved, is the gift of God. It's a gift from God. Actually, all of it. You say, you know, I've had people say, "Well, what's the gift? The grace, the salvation, or the faith?" The answer to that is yes. It's all a gift from God. It's God's grace. It's His salvation. And faith comes from His word. So it's his basically an endowment of His faith that comes from His word. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Praise the Lord. We'll read verse 1 and 2 here. You know, this follows right up after Paul had talked about being a new creature in Christ and how that we are the righteousness of God in Him. Not our own righteousness, but God's righteousness. We've been made that. And then in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you," or "we beg you also, that you receive not the grace of God in vain." In other words, don't make the grace of God empty. Let it have its work. Let it do what it's supposed to do. "For he said, I have heard you in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation," now notice the word salvation there, "I have," the King James says, "succored," which means to help you. "I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time." Everybody say now. "Behold, now," everybody say now again,
now,
"is the day of salvation." All right. Now, in going back to Romans, let's go back to Romans chapter 1 there. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," he said, "for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." And then he makes a distinction. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, a Gentile, doesn't matter that, any Jew or a Greek, doesn't matter what, you know, where you stand, the gospel is the power of God if you believe it. Now, what does it bring? Salvation. Now, sometimes salvation is a little hard to define for us from the biblical standpoint, because when we hear the word salvation, we think about accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're saved. All right? Really, that's being born again. And yes, it means saved. But the word saved and the word salvation means so much more than just being born again or I became a Christian. All right. I want to look at that a little bit tonight. And so looking at this, one great help that I found is Scofield's Bible Notes. Any Southern Baptist in here, he raised Southern Baptist. If you were raised Southern Baptist, you know about Scofield. His notes in the Bible, very good notes. A lot of times, you know, the joke is people believe Scofield's notes more than they did the Bible itself. But I don't know about that. But he has a note here concerning this word salvation as found not only in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, but throughout the New Testament and the Bible itself. He says, "The Hebrew and Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness." He says this, "Salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes." And then he lists them. Justification, that's where God declares us to be right with Him. Redemption, that's where Jesus has purchased us by His blood. Grace, that's what provides this. Propitiation, which is a payment made on behalf of another. Imputation, that's where we got given to us His righteousness. He took our sin. Forgiveness. Sanctification, that's the moment of being set apart from God and the ongoing sanctified life. And glorification, he says. Salvation, he said, is in three different tenses. The believer has been saved from the guilt of penalty of sin. The believer is being saved from the habit and dominion of sin. And the believer is to be saved in the sense of entire conformity to Christ. Then I like this. He says, salvation is by grace through faith. Is a free gift, wholly without works. The divine order is first salvation, then works. Well, let's go back then and let's read this. And let me put in, he lists five things that he says that that this word salvation implies. And let's put those words in here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto deliverance. Now to who? To those who believe. Now, I think we would agree that Jesus died for all men. How many of you can at least think in your mind of John 3:16? For God so loved the world. It didn't leave anybody out, did it? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever, I love that phrase, whosoever, because that includes us whosoever's. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Okay, now, so God sent Jesus for every whosoever there is, and that's all of us, everybody in the whole world. But notice, it only has an effect on those who believe. Okay, same thing he says there. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto deliverance. Another word was safety. Another word was preservation. You know, think about that safety and preservation in this time that we live in. Where, you know, people are even concerned about going to a public setting because they don't know what's going to... No, we are safe. We can claim salvation in these areas. Pastor Hagin, this morning, we had our back to school Sunday. And so he preached a message to all of our students and our people, and talked to them about having no fear based on Psalm 91. And having that protection. Whenever we have somebody from our congregation that is deployed or enters in the military, we give them a dog tag that is approved to be worn by the military that has Psalm 91 on it. And we talk to them about that. And they go, they're able to wear that dog tag with their military issued, you know, dog tag. But it's got Psalm 91 on it that talks about how he protects us. He'll hide us under the shadow of his wings. He'll give his angels charge over us. Amen. With long life, he'll satisfy us and show us his salvation. Well, that's what he's talking about here, all right? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto healing. Glory to God. Last time I was here, we talked about the subject of divine healing and how that God has always been a healer. And then soundness. What does that mean? Well, let's just put it this way. We don't have to go through life crazy. Don't say anything, but just look at your neighbor. Maybe they need to believe that a little bit more. I don't know, but I'm just saying there. No, soundness. Soundness, that means whole. Spirit, soul, and body. All right? Now, so go to Ephesians then with me, chapter 2. Let's bring those in there and look at that. You know, I thank God that when God delivered me, you think about, I've heard some accounts and read some accounts of, in fact, there's, you know, a movie just came out here a few years ago about someone who was, but during World War II, different ones that were shot down over the Pacific Ocean and how that, or those that ships and they abandoned ship. Well, when whoever came to rescue them, plucked them out of the water, they were saved, if you will, or delivered from that. But you realize they were also then preserved from any ship that might come that way. Any big fish that might come along to try to eat them. I mean, they weren't just saved once. They were, in other words, it was just not a one time. It affected the rest of their life, right? Well, this salvation is the same way. We're not just saved. We're not just, oh, thank God I got born again. But no, this is something now that it is our life. Okay? Now, look here. Now, we talked about belief. Yes, you come through faith. We come through belief. But let's look at verse 8 now. For by grace are you delivered. Let me say this, because most of us, we read some of those words, delivered, saved, preserved, and sound. We read that. Let me use the word healing and health and healed, okay? For by grace are you healed. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I was listening to Brother Hagin's series here, the first series on the name of Jesus. There's several different CD series out there. But I was listening to that one just the other day. He was talking about coming boldly to the throne of God that we've been given. He said, but you're not coming in there bragging on yourself. You're not going to come to God and say, well, God, I've done this and I've done that, and so therefore I qualify. No, no, no. It's by grace. In other words, you can't earn it. It's a gift of God. All right? I know in trying to teach people faith and teach the importance sometimes of it's important to watch what you say and confess the word of God, we might have given the impression, I think, that, well, if you'll just say it enough times, God will have to do it. Well, that, you're not impressing God by how many times you confess you're healed.
That's right.
Because as far as God's concerned, it's a done deal. You're not convincing God. You might be convincing yourself. All right? But it's by grace, but notice that it's received through faith. All right. How many of you ever seen an apple tree? Not just apples at the store, but you've actually seen an apple tree. All right. Well, you know, apples grow there on the tree, and you really didn't have anything to do. Well, I plant. Well, great. You planted an apple tree or seed, but you don't have any idea really how that grows an apple. All right. Something God did. But the tree grows the apple. But if you want to partake of the apple, a good one, not one that hits the ground, you know, and sits there and starts to rot. What do you have to do? You have to reach up and take it. But you didn't grow it. You didn't provide it. It's already been provided, if you will, by the grace of God. Faith is that hand that reaches up and takes what grace has already provided. And I say take because God's given it to you.
Yes.
It's not like he's withholding it. God's not. He's El Shaddai. He's the all-sufficient one. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that you know, meets all of our needs. He's not, you know, so I think some people thought one of God's names in the Old Testament was El Chipo. No, he's El Shaddai. He's the provider. He's not holding back from us. So it's, and so I come from the standpoint, salvation is never something, even the healing, deliverance, any of these areas, that can be earned. It was purchased and brought through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that you and I can ever do other than believe it to qualify ourselves. And that's really not qualifying. You're just receiving what's already been provided. Now, you know, there's aspects of faith. Yes, we need to learn those. How that faith calls things that be not as though they were. Now, how many, any of you have any vacation time left? Or you got plans anytime coming up? Have you? Now, are you there right now? But you, have any of you told anybody, I'm going to be in such a... You're not there. You can't say that. You're not there right now. No, what are you doing? You're calling things that be not as though they were, and that's exactly what faith does. See, even if your body, you may not feel healed in your body today, but the Bible says by Jesus' stripes you're healed. You can say, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed.
Amen.
Well, that's not the truth. Yes, it's exactly the truth. What you're concerned, what I for years did, and what I think others make a mistake in doing, is they mistake facts and truth. Okay? Now here in just a little bit, oh, it just did. The fact of what time it is just changed. Went from 6:47 to 6:48. That's a fact. Remember this. Facts are always subject to change. Facts change all the time. You know, if you got to watch, this one's got a second hand on boy every second. And if I could break it down any further, you know, it changes all the time. But truth is something that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let me prove that to you biblically. Jesus said, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. And then the Bible also says that it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, you all know some natural truths, right? How many of you know for a fact, it's not a fact, it's a truth to you, that 2 + 2 equals what?
4.
You can't change that. We call them math facts, but actually they're math truths. 2 + 2 is always 4. If you get something different than 4, guess what? You are wrong. There is red ink on your paper. Do they still use red ink in school? Not as much as they used to, right? Because we can't hurt the little child's feelings. I'm sorry, I'll get off that bandwagon right now. Amen. You know, the Bible says he who spares the rod hates his child. I want to declare tonight I was loved growing up. Kept me out of a lot of trouble. All right? I thank God for it. And when the time came, you know, to make it to where I really heard the gospel, I was ready to receive it. And thank God I didn't have a whole lot of baggage to, you know, I was a sinner going to hell, you understand. But I just thank God. The Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, and it's not being afraid of, it's having reverence for the Lord. But I had a reverence for my parents in the sense of a respect. There was a lot of things I wouldn't do because I didn't want to go home and have to face them. Not because they wouldn't love me anymore, because it disappointed, you understand? I didn't want to disappoint them. I had a reverence for them. They had raised us a certain way, and there's just a lot of things I didn't do. And they taught me, you know, here's an interesting thing. They had taught me growing up that rules are there for purpose, and if you're going to be part of something, they have rules, then you obey them. Well, I was involved, now you can't tell it by looking at me now, but I was involved in athletics growing up and actually played basketball in college and played on the college golf team and really, really enjoyed that. But growing up in all those teams and schools and that, now when I got to college, I didn't, but when I was in high school, well, they had, you know, they had no alcohol policies, they had no tobacco policies. Well, that wasn't any problem for me. Now, all my teammates and that, they're always going out partying, doing all this stuff, but I that was a rule and I just didn't do it. Plus, it was against the law. Amen? And I just wouldn't do it because we were raised that way. Not to be afraid, you know. I've never, ever had a reason to be afraid of rules because we were taught that. And so when I see something in the Word of God, it's just like, okay, that's the way it is. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect, dear Lord. I don't want my wife to get up here and start testifying. But all right. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians here. He quotes here, and sometime I'd love for go back and read Isaiah 49, verses 7 through 16. No, we're not going to necessarily do it tonight unless we get time here in just a minute. But if you read that, you'll see what he quotes here. Because in the Old Testament, God promised that a day of salvation would come. That a Messiah was coming, a Savior was coming. And these Old Testament prophets like Isaiah spoke about that time that was coming when the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, would show up. Well, we know who that is. That's Jesus. And it talked about what would take place during that time. Now, he quotes this here in verse 2 and says, "For he says, I've heard you in a time accepted. In the day of salvation, I've helped you. I've heard you," he said. "I've heard you." Now, he says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now, at that point, it was something that was promised, yet there were times and seasons in God's calendar and the way he dealt with Israel that there were certain days. Some of you might have heard of the day of Jubilee or the year of Jubilee. These things, there were certain times of great that God would do things on their behalf. But he said, there's coming a day when it's going to be the day of salvation. Now, this day is not necessarily a 24-hour period. It is a time of salvation. A time of what? What does that word salvation mean? Deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, all right, and soundness. Let me read this verse to you from a couple different translations. Here's the Jubilee Bible, verse 2. "For he says, I've heard you in an acceptable time, and in the day of saving health I have succored thee," or "helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of saving health." Here's an apostolic translation that says this. "For he says, in an accepted time, I heeded you. And in the day of deliverance, I helped you. Behold, now is the well-received time. Behold, now is the day of deliverance." And I like the Amplified version here. Listen to this. "For he says, in the time of favor, of an assured welcome, I have listened to and have heeded your call. I have helped you on the day of deliverance," the day of salvation. Well, that, he's quoting that. Now he says this, "Behold, now is truly the time for a gracious welcome and acceptance of you from God." See, back then they didn't know when that would be. When would God be gracious? When would they be accepted to come to God? See, only once a year did the high priest go into the Holy of Holies, and that was an accepted time, and that was not without the shedding of blood. I mean, it was such a time that they had to tie a rope around their ankle, and they had bells on their and stones on their garment. And if it's just like somebody said, if the priest quit tinkling, he quit breathing. That meant something had gone wrong, and they had to drag him out of there with that rope. But he said that was a day. But he said there's coming a time that that day is going to be here. And he said, for all of you, and he says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, I really like this one from in the English version, New English version, says this. In the scriptures, God says, when the time came, I listened to you. And when you needed help, I came to save you. Now, listen to this. That time has come. And I got good news for you tonight. It has never quit. Amen. That time has come. This is the day for you to be saved. Amen. You see? Well, what part of salvation do you need? Well, I need healing. This is the day for you to be healed. Amen. See, that's what he's saying. Why? Because God's ear is open. His favorable time is right now. In fact, when Jesus rose from the dead, it became the favorable time for all mankind. You know, there's not a time. Well, you know, just be patient. Just be patient. Your time to get saved will come. Or you wouldn't tell anybody that about accepting Jesus. We'd tell them when. You need to accept Jesus when? Right now. Right now. Now's the day for you to be saved. Well, right now. When do you need to accept your healing? Right now. You see, it's right now. We don't have to put it off. Now's the time. Today's the day. Now, the Weiss translation, he says this. He uses some big words here, and that I'll try to define, because I had to look them up. You ever do that? Read a book, you're like, what did that just say? You have to get your dictionary out. He says this. More in verse 2, let's see, where does he start here? In an epochal strategic season, propitious in character. How many of you are lost already? I hearkened to you. And in a day of salvation, I ran to your cry and brought you aid. Behold, now is a propitious epochal season, or epochal. Behold, now, see, I didn't even have translation. I just say it every how I feel like it at the moment. Behold, now is a day of salvation. Now, propitious, listen to this. Propitious means this. It means a beginning. It means favorable. It means auspicious. I like it. It says it may apply to beginnings, but often it suggests a continuing, promising condition. When Jesus rose from the dead, it became a propitious season for us. It's a continual, promising season for mankind. Today is the day. Now, epochal or epochal, however you want to say it, because, you know, who knows. I love what this means. Listen to this. It means it serves an epoch of time is a certain time that serves as a launching period, an origin, and it means this. It is something where something significant is taking place that will be looked upon historically, looking back, as that was epic. And he's saying that, that's what he said in that translation. That favorable season that began is today, and it is epic. It is epic. It's right now. We're living in the greatest time to be alive in the history of the world. There's no other time, because right now is that time, and salvation is ongoing right now. It doesn't matter what area of salvation covers it all. Whatever area of your need, of need that you might have in your life right now, what Jesus did covered it. And he rose again and was seated at the right hand of God and did what? Sat down. Why? He finished his work. Now he's provided it to you and I, and we have to receive it through grace. You know, we used to talk about, well, how'd you get that? I got that by my faith. No, you're getting it mixed up. It's by grace through faith. I've heard people testify, you know, give testimonies. They bragged on themselves for 10 minutes and then, oh yeah, mention Jesus. No, we got that backwards. It's by grace through faith. I didn't grow the healing, but I'm going to reach up and take it. I didn't provide the salvation, but I'm going to reach up and take it. I didn't beg God or force God to bring me safety, but I'm going to reach up and take it. Amen. I didn't talk God into it. I didn't live such a holy life. I'm not so sanctified that God just has to preserve me. He already did it because why? Jesus bought it for me, and I'm going to reach up and take it. Amen. You know, as a child growing up, how many of you received any gifts growing up as a child for a birthday or Christmas, anything like that? Did you deserve any of them? No, you hadn't done anything. I mean, you think about it. I guarantee you, that first birthday, you have caused your parents so much work, cost them so much sleep. Amen? It's a miracle they can exist in public. Right? They have smelled stuff and touched stuff that no human person should ever have to smell or touch. Amen. And yet what happens on that first birthday? They throw you a party. Amen. Yeah, and then you threw it back. Exactly right. You know, anybody that would, boom, boom, right? Got it all over your face. You didn't deserve it, but they gave it to you. Why? Because they love you. If we can love our kids like that, imagine a God who is love. How much he loves us. We don't deserve it, but thank God he's done it for us. Amen. Today is a propitious season. It's a favorable season. Why? And it's epic. It is epic. I mean, it is a great time right now to do what? To receive everything God has for you. Amen. We don't need to pray. We just need to lift our hands and thank God. Just lift your voice up and thank God. Father, I thank you for salvation. I thank you, Father God, that we just reach up and receive. We declare that we are saved. Everything that means right now, healing in our bodies, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you for keeping us safe and preserving us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, if there be someone here today that doesn't even know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that we're reaching up right now to receive the new birth, that born again experience, to be born again. Today's the day. Today's the day. There's not a better day than today to be saved, to be born again, to be healed. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, you might be out there today and you don't know Jesus, or you want prayer for some reason, and there's nothing wrong with asking for prayer. But if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you have in the past, but you're not walking and living a Christian life, or you want to just know for sure. You know, some folks go to church all their life, don't know for sure if they're right with God or not. Well, you can find that out tonight. Why? It's today, right? Today's the day. Okay, or you might want to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit according to the Bible. If that's you, Glenn and Heather, why don't you guys go ahead and come up right over here. They're going to come. You come up here and when we dismiss here, then in fact, let's all stand up. Let me ask, is there anybody in here that you don't know Jesus? You've never accepted Jesus as your Lord? Because I don't know y'all. All right, like that. Anybody in here that wants today to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never done that before, you've never accepted this salvation, would you just wave your hand at me? Anybody? I'm just looking, it doesn't take a whole long time to look. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, tell your neighbor, at least everybody tell somebody, well, I'll see you in heaven. All right, because if you accepted Jesus, your Lord and Savior, we're going to live eternally in heaven, right, with the Lord. Well, heaven's coming to earth sometime, but it hasn't happened yet. All right. But if you need prayer for anything tonight, you want somebody to agree with you according to the Word of God, we've got Glenn and Heather up here. They're here. They're going to pray with you according to God's Word. Amen. Brother Greg, do we have any first-time guests tonight? We have a first-time guest. If you would please, how do you want them to come see you? See Greg back there? Oh, right there? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, go ahead and take him. Yes, please take him. First-time guest, go with our hosts here. And hostesses, they got a special gift for you on behalf of Pastor Mrs. Hagen and Raymond Bible Church. Thank you for coming. Give them a great big hand clap tonight. Amen. We're so glad you're here. All right. Praise the Lord. As Greg said, Pastor Craig will be here next week and bring the Word of God. And I'm sure he'll quote John 10:10. How many of you know that about Pastor Craig? All right. The thief comes not but to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. I think that's his key scripture of life. and ministry. But thank God for it. All right? If you need prayer, don't hesitate to come on up here. Let them pray with you, agree with you according to the Word of God, because that's where answers come from. Today's your day. Today's your day of salvation. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for each and every one that are here. Father, we thank you that salvation is ours today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you need prayer coming up, don't forget to greet several folks before you leave tonight. God bless you so much.